My name is Fred Dodsworth. This is the National Finance Committee meeting. The date is November 11th, is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. 11th. It is currently 5:36 p.m. California time. Aki, can you call the roll?
Sure. Let's see. Christine Avalos. Tom Chase.
Tom? Here.
Okay. Denton Foley?
Here.
Thank you. Steve Cookout?
Here.
Thank you. R. Paul Martin?
Here.
Thank you. Fred Dodsworth?
Here.
Thank you. Maria Reza?
I'm here.
Okay. James Sagatin?
Here.
Thank you. Michael Woodson?
I'm here.
Thank you. Stephanie?
Here.
Stephanie's here. Okay. Susan is here.
Here.
Markeisha. I think I saw you.
Here.
Okay. Antonio Ortiz.
You're muted, Antonio.
Here, thank you. I'm multitasking. To me, okay.
Okay.
I'm here.
All right. And let's see. Judy is here. Okay. And one other person is, let's see.
Maria Negret.
Is Maria on?
I am here.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Right here. Hello.
Very good. Okay. So, quorum is here.
Great. I think
Chair, this is James. I have a point of order.
What is your point, sir? James?
Sorry, I was muted for a second. My point is that, in my humble opinion, this is an outrageous break with our precedent not to stream the meeting. We have gone down in our practices to where sometimes we can't stream a meeting, and so we record it and we post it later. And now I believe we're talking about not posting the meeting at all and not streaming it. This is just a continuation of the trend towards secrecy. And I believe it is a break of, if not our prior resolutions, it's a break with certainly our prior precedents. In the, you know, all the years I've been doing this, we always stream the meetings. We wouldn't even hold a meeting if it couldn't be streamed. And financial information is not secret. Sometimes it's embarrassing, but if there's something that needs to be private that's going to occur in this meeting, we can simply hold an executive session. But, you know, there's only certain reasons that we should hold an executive session, and we shouldn't do it if it's not one of those reasons.
I have a point of order.
Excuse me, we need to let James Haggerton finish his point of order. Is there anything?
I'm done, Chair.
Okay, and your point of order, my left?
Well, was that a point of order or a statement?
Well, it sounded like a statement. It claimed to be a point of order.
May I respond, Chair? It was a point of order. I'm saying that the rules that we have set for ourselves in prior resolutions of the PMB, that all of our meetings are streamed, this is why we have the whole setup, is being broken. And if it's not, if it can't be found because we don't know where all of our prior resolutions are, even though we've had promises that those are going to be organized and listed so that we can use them.
You know,
if it's not a prior resolution,
you're straying away from your point of order, James.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't hear.
You're straying away from your point of order. Your point of order has been made.
Right.
And Myla, you had a point of order as well, or was that your point of order?
I was just concerned about using a point of order as a way of making an extended statement.
I allowed it, and we're now going to move on. Let's talk about the agenda. Is there any objection to the agenda? I assume you've all read it.
No. Sorry, I think we need to rule on the point of order.
I'm not going to cancel this meeting at that request. I've been given conflicting information about whether it's required. We don't have Otis here to do it. We have Aki, who is recording it, and so that issue can be resolved later.
So you're denying the point of order, in which case I would call for a vote.
Okay, let's call for a vote. Aki?
Sure, okay. So the board
You don't need to motivate because James motivated.
If I could just ask for a clarification, is a vote yes to sustain the ruling of the chair that the meeting continues, and a vote no is to sustain
overrule the chair.
Is to overrule the chair and we will discontinue the meeting?
No.
Paul, you're out of order.
I was just going to clarify.
Paul, you're out of order. You have not been recognized. Okay. James has a chance to answer that question because it's his point of order.
Okay. The point of order was that it's a violation of our prior resolutions or our precedents to hold this meeting without streaming.
Okay. So we now have James called for a ruling from the chair. I have overruled him. If you vote.
And it's correct. I'm sorry. It's correct that a yes is to support the chair and a no is not to support the chair.
Thank you for the clarification, James.
Point of information, please.
Yes, ma'am.
If we don't support the ruling of the chair, what is the consequence?
Then we close the meeting. It's over.
Okay.
Okay, so let me take the vote. Fred, thoughts, please?
I support the ruling of the chair.
Okay. By the reason?
I support the ruling of the chair.
Okay. James Sagerton?
No.
No? Okay. Michael Woodson?
You're muted, Michael.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's 3-1. So
Aki, do vote.
You vote to okay.
I'm a voting
okay.
member.
Okay.
Susan? I support the ruling of the chair.
Okay, thank you. All right. Thank you. So
okay.
It's a 4-1, so we can go on.
Great. Thank you, sir. Do we have any other objections to the agenda? Other objections.
No, point of order. You have to read the agenda. It hasn't been yet.
Okay,
I'll read it. Thank you, Aki.
It's a call to order. Roll call for 5 minutes. Approval of the agenda, 5 minutes. Approval of the October 14th minutes. Then the only item we're going to cover today is the KPFA budget. All the other budgets are postponed to the next meeting. Then we have an ED report. Then we adjourn.
I would actually like to have, I don't know if this is the proper place to say it, but I am going to bring it up here. It has come to my attention that WBAI, despite testimony in our prior meetings, NF National Finance Committee meetings, that WBAI has not had but one fund drive in the last 19 months. And I was shocked to discover that. And I really am quite surprised that the members of WBAI on the National Finance Committee have not raised that as a real issue, and that this comes as a big surprise to all of us. Okay, so we're now done with the agenda. We've approved the agenda. Has everybody looked at the minutes?
Well, hold on. There's a hand there. You're talking about BAI not having something, and I think somebody who knows what's happening should be able to report.
Or Paul, please tell us how many fund drives have you had in the last 19
well,
months?
Well, let's see. I'm going to look at the executive director's report.
No. You're the National Finance Committee member and you are on the finance board at WBA. How many fund drives have you had in the last 19 months?
An enormous, gigantic one. We don't stop pitching. And plus we've had more discreet ones. And, you know, this is kind of amazing to me that you're going to say that we don't have this.
Nice that you say that it's amazing, but I've seen the documents.
Point of order or orders of the day? Can we get back to the agenda, please?
Could I just note that the executive director's report on the WBAI starts out, winter 2025 pledge drive and gives a goal and an actual and how many donors, etc. I think that means we had an official drive. Plus, from experience, I can tell you, we are constantly pitching. Thank you.
I've heard you say that before.
Orders of the day. Let's get back to the agenda. The chair is out of order for straying from the agenda. Let's get back to it, please.
Let's go back to the minutes. Does anybody have any objection to the minutes?
R. Paul?
I am willing to hear you, sir.
Okay. I sent in a set of corrections. I think everybody should have gotten them. And
when did you send those, R. Paul?
I sent those this afternoon.
Okay. I always appreciate all incorporate your corrections.
Okay. And yes, I think Steve Kukula has his own.
Fred's in imminent
stuff.
Danger there.
I'm going to let Steve Kukula speak for himself, or Paul.
Okay, go ahead. Then I got something else to ask.
No, you finish with.
We're talking about the minutes.
Exactly. Do you have anything else to say about the minutes?
Yes, I would like to know when they're going to be posted publicly.
Well, I keep promising that I'm going to do it, and I'll try to do it before the next meeting on the 25th. It's pretty easy to do. Yeah.
Hey, thank you.
Are there any other objections to the minutes? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Okay.
KPFA.
Let's go back to the KPFA. We're now going on to the KPFA presentation. Antonio Ortiz and Maria Negrete, you're here, and as is Markeisha. I'm assuming everybody has seen the KPFA financial that were sent out more than a week ago.
It is. I'm sorry. I just let Maria know that my microphone is on.
Thank you.
He keeps teasing me, so I never know when he's telling me the truth.
It's on. So we're both in the same room, and please let us know if there's any technical issues, because we're both using my microphone and computer audio, and she's literally next to me. So if there's any feedback or anything, please stop us, and then we will fix it and then move on.
It sounds perfect, Antonio.
I'm sorry, what was that?
It sounds perfect.
Okay, fabulous.
Chair, this is James with a request.
I didn't see your hand up, James.
Sorry, I'm on my phone.
Okay, what's your request, James?
I just wanted to, it's actually a suggestion and a request. The request is to send around a copy of the budget again for use in the meeting now to the members. And the suggestion is it's always good to do that right before the meeting so that people have it at the top of their list and don't have to go looking for it.
I kind of assumed that everybody would have that open because that's the only thing on the agenda today. But Aki, if you could send that out again, I'd appreciate it. Myla?
I can send it, or Aki.
Well, Myla, go ahead.
Myla, can you do that?
Yes, please.
I can do it, sure.
Thank you, Myla.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
If I could note that there are two directors who are not currently members of this committee who are also on the call, and perhaps Myla could forward them to them, and that's Julie Hewitt and Colin User Number One, who I believe is Serene Roberts.
I will send it to them as well.
Serene, since you're called Caller User One, will you please state your name?
I am on the call. I don't know how I register. I'm on my phone.
Thank you.
And you are Serene Roberts?
Yeah, the standard procedure is you say Serene Roberts.
Yeah.
Have you said it?
Serene.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll get that to all of you. Host takes.
Okay, go ahead, Antonio.
Okay, we're going to pass it off to Maria.
I don't know if the internet's very slow up this way, but I have it up now.
Are you presenting?
No. I figured everybody, should I present or do you just want to follow?
I'm totally fine either way you are.
Okay.
I would say just present it so that everyone's looking at the same thing.
Okay. Well, there are three documents that were sent. Well, in the email that you all received. I think they're all the bank statements.
Point of order. I beg your pardon. Steve has put in the chat that he has had his hand up and hasn't been recognized. I would just like to request the chair to recognize Steve so that he has his question out before we start.
I would love that. I don't see a hand up even yet, but Steve, please go ahead.
No, I took it down after it was passed over, but Aki sent out the budget draft earlier today, so we did, in fact, receive the budget today.
Thank you, sir. So go ahead.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. There, my internet for some reason is very slow here, but I am trying to get this going here. You know, we're just a technology company, so. okay, let's see if I can share.
Because the TPA budget also went out on November 6th.
Yeah.
I think actually it went out a month ago.
That too, but it went out again on November 6th.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. I am having trouble here. So,
you want me to share screen? No, I can't because I'm not the host.
I'm sorry. Can I just ask, cause I'm just putting the, people that I'm sending it to. Is there anyone besides James Saugerton, Serene Roberts, and Julie Hewitt, who should be receiving this agenda? I mean the spreadsheet.
I'm not aware of that.
Okay, then I'm just going
to ages ago. So
I'm just going to send it to those three individuals. If no one else,
thank you.
Sure,
Myla.
Sure.
All right.
Okay, I got it. I'm all in line here. Okay, so the first one that you see on your screen is the analysis that we do, or actually it's not really an analysis, it's the input of all of the fund drives that we have had over the years, over the year, I should say. And all of that flows into the budget. So the first thing I always say about KPFA's budgets is that we always budget based on actual what we actually achieved and what we actually received in payments. So we have a little bit of an anomaly of sorts that KPFA had in previous years. We used to get the most money over 12 months. Now we have a lot more sustainers. So our fulfillment rate is a little bit less than we used to have, only because when somebody it does a pledge for say $120, $10 a month, the pledge amount is put in at $120, but the payment is put in at $10 because the $120 is spread out over 12 months. So I hope everybody understands that concept. So where we used to have in column R, which is the achieved to paid, which is a fulfillment rate, we used to have a fulfillment rates of like 90%, but our fulfillment rate has reduced only because it's spread out over 12 months. So it makes it harder to quantify, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Before, somebody would pledge $120, they'd pay $120. That means that pledge was 100% fulfilled. The good part about having a lot more sustainers is that we have a lot more steady money coming in. So that's always good news. So columns B, C, and D are the proposed fund drives that we're going to have over the whole year. We continue to have three-week fund drives, two-week fund drives, and one birthday day, 1 or 2 days. Kind of depends on when it falls. And as you go across, you see that let's see, the spring drive, our goal 450, we achieved 400, let's just round it up to 400. Our post drive 50,000, we achieved 27.5. So that is what I use to calculate how we bring in future fund drive goals and achievements and payments. I hope that I have it in my head so easy. It's just kind of like second nature or whatever. So I want to make sure everybody understands that concept.
Thank you.
Any questions, I should say? Okay. Wonderful. The other tab that's showing right now is that comes directly from our database. And I just wanted to show these are the actual numbers that were in our database at the time that I did this budget, which, to be honest, now I can't remember when it was. I think it was a month and a half ago. So it's just a little added information. Then if we go to the third one, that is the actual budget.
Could you go back one?
Go back one?
Yeah,
yes. Sort of. Sure.
So, just what Maria was saying, that our, the fulfillment rate goes up, just so that you all can see it in action. If you look at lines 14 and 15, fall 2024, you can see that the fulfillment rate is closer to 94.5%, right? And that means that by the time the year has ended, if everyone who has made a monthly pledge for that fund drive completed their final 12-month pledge, it brings up a fulfillment rate up to that number. So that's why lines 7 or 14 and 15 are at 94.5 and 98.1. But then if you look at lines 3 and 4, you know, they're at 32% and 66%. So, you know, in the end, we're going to be bringing in that money as the year goes on. So just not to worry about those low numbers immediately after our fund drive.
Antonio?
Yes?
I'd like to ask a question. I contribute monthly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I don't necessarily contribute at the fund drive. I just contribute every year monthly. Is that shown on that sheet as well?
No. Maria will explain more about
that.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oops, dang it. It is not in there because if somebody pledges during the fund drives and becomes a sustainer at that time, we record only 12 months. If we're lucky enough to keep that sustainer for future years, it's not part of the fund drives any longer because the fund drive was a year ago or 2 years ago. They then become in the actual budget, they then become, oh my God, all of a sudden they just, they're sustainers. So, and that becomes part of listener support. Let me explain what listener support is for the way we do it at KPFA, the way I've been taught from 16 years ago from national office. Listener support consists of pledges. Paid pledges, by the way. What is in the budget is money that was actually paid to us, it's not accrued, meaning we don't put in what was promised. We put in what was actually paid. And they are, from fund drives. They are from, sustainers. They are from donor advised funds. And, then of course there's corporate match car donations and so on. The money that you see in here, the listener support is from the last 12 months of fund drives. The, sustainers are from people who have been donating for years.
Can I add to that?
Yeah, please.
So the other thing that you would notice is that if we had kept, and it happened actually, was it over a decade ago? It was a while back. Where sustainer numbers were still being attributed to the fund drive that they originally had donated to. So you would see on our station admin
a fund drive making like 135 or 235% of its goal because the numbers, the donations were still going to this fund drive. So we made the change where once the year is ended, then that person had committed their commitment. They have completed their commitment to that fund drive, and any other donations that they would do monthly, we wanted to separate it out so that we would know how many people. It's still something that we have to kind of figure out in-house, but the goal is to find out how many donations are coming monthly that aren't attributed to a fund drive currently, right? But they all came to the station through a fund drive at some point. So that's another reason why we don't continue to add it to a past fund drive, because then you would have these inflated numbers for that fund drive.
There's two pieces. There's the fund drives, which we count for 1 year, basically, and then there's the sustainers for month 13 and future or past, whatever.
Excuse me, Maria.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, I'm looking at the screen just previous, or this one. And no, actually, it's not the fund drive. It's the other one. Where do we see, is there a specific place where we see sustainer income?
It's all inclusive. Okay. You're looking here at this one, right, and it's right. Line 7.
Right.
So that is it, all inclusive, sustainers, donor advised, and pledges, paid pledges.
And can I, another question, and I am wondering, do you evaluate programming based on, do you use as part of the metric for evaluating programming the amount of money that comes in during pledges for that particular show? Do you break it down in that way?
I'll let Antonio, if you ask me, I would do it that way, but I'm the money person. Antonio has a different metric.
And if you were, it's a kind of a compound question. If you were to do that, and for example, you've got sustainers who might value a number of shows, not just the show during which they pledged. Is there a way that you track that so that you understand that your sustainers are valuing more than one particular show?
So to answer the first question, the way that I've been having conversations, right now it's been with the programmers that are employees of the station. Mm-hmm. So the conversation I've had with them is essentially, what is the amount of money that was raised during the hours of their show, the slot of the time slot of their show, compared to how much the show costs the station? Things that I have to include in that is if they consistently pitch at a particular time, I have to add that time slot as well, because some hosts will pitch outside of their show hours. And then if they are somebody who gets scheduled by the fund drive manager at the time, now the development director, to pitch at different times, I have to look at a schedule and find out when they pitched. And if I don't have documentation of it, because it's changing on the fly, and we won't know until right before and the schedule was sent in the morning, sometimes I have to go and listen to the file to see if I can hear their voice. So it's a little bit more complicated than I would like. But the best that I could do is base it off of when they're on the air asking for money and how much their show costs the station in relation to how much they're making. Going back to the comparing the, what do you call it, the sustainers that made donations before the, let's just say this. Anyone who's made a donation to a particular time slot, let's say 10 years ago, that information I don't really have and I don't follow. So it doesn't get attributed. It really is just how much they're making right now during their time slot. There has been concern brought up about people making donations at different times, and we'll see it when someone makes a donation. Let's say they make a $1,000 donation at 2 o'clock in the morning and they'll list a bunch of shows that they want to support. We see it, but we don't take that away from that hour and put it someplace else because it's too messy. So the challenge that we have is, as a radio station, the goal is anyone and everyone who makes a donation, they're supporting the station and what we do as a station, not necessarily a particular program. But if a particular program is not able to raise enough money to support the station to continue its operations, then we need to look at that. So it's not cut and dry, black and white in that way. It just requires us to have more conversations, and it's something that a lot of programmers bring up as a major concern, and we're trying to figure that out. I would say that any program that gets donations and online listenership, I'm not too worried about. Even if they are bringing in less than they should or what they cost, there's still movement there. I think as a general manager, what I'm looking toward is there a show that's not bringing any donations and doesn't have listenership, right? Even shows that have a lot of negative, we'll just say like a lot of people who are strongly opinionated about what they don't like about it, to me, that's still something, people are still listening to it and they're engaged by it. So I hope that answers your question. It's a little bit more complicated than just attributing it, but it's something that we are always talking about.
So maybe we can follow up, but I'd just like to say that I think that it's important to understand that the value of a show isn't necessarily measured by the amount of money that comes in or is pledged during that time. And I think that we really have to understand that there's something beyond the numbers themselves in terms of evaluation. Thank you.
Yes, well, I think everybody understands that, and this is the National Finance Committee, so I think what we're trying to focus on is actual dollars coming in. Steve Kalaka, you said you had your hand up. I just turned on the chat. I didn't realize I was supposed to be looking at that as well. What was your question?
Well, most pledges are for a one-year period, so if you pledged, say, in March, that would be for half the year in 1 year and half the year in the next year. We've heard how we account for the half of the year, the current year, but what happens to that other half? How's it accounted in the following year since it was pledged in the previous year?
Our database keeps track of that. So if somebody pledges $120 as a sustainer, so they're going to pay $10 a month. Let me clarify. A sustainer means in perpetuity, right? Years ago, we used to accept installment payments, and people would say, I'm going to give you $120, but I'm going to do it in $10 increments. We no longer allow that. We do sustainers. So if you say, I'm going to give you a book is being offered for $120, they're going to get that book. They have pledged at the very least $120, and they're going to do it over $10 increments. However, we don't stop that at month 12. We go into month 13, 14, and so on. So the database keeps track of the first 12 months is attributed to a fund drive. Month 13th and future, or past month 13th, then becomes a sustainer.
Well, how would that relate to a pledge? Would that be 100% paid
the
6 months?
Yes. Not in 6 months, in 12 months.
And that's my question here. You were throwing all these numbers about pledge percentages, but you're only accounting, you know, you're doing this weird accounting.
Can you explain?
How do you get pledge percentages in a year you didn't make a pledge when you're still receiving money? I actually don't want to debate this. I think
we're in the minutia on that. I think we should move on.
Yeah.
I can't see anyone's hand up. Please go back to your presentation.
Okay. All right. So you see in column G is the fiscal year 25 budget. Column I is the month to date actual. And then J is over and under. So in numbers, you will see that it looks like we fell short of our listener support goal. However, we had less fund drive days in fiscal year 25, the actual fund drive days than I had budgeted. So, you know, we don't we don't hold our development team to say, oh, you said you were going to do the fund drive on this day, that day. Things are fluid. Things move for whatever reason. So it turned out that we had less fund drive days in fiscal year 25 than we did that I had budgeted for. However, that means that we are now going to have more fund drive days in fiscal year 26, because the fall drive, where I had expected it to be all in fiscal year 25, is now straddling 25 and 26. So I hope that makes sense. Go ahead.
These figures at the bottom, are they correct? $3 million, $3,928?
That's fiscal year 26 budget.
So that's what we're expecting to bring in pay nearly $4 million in this fiscal, in our fund drive.
Let's make sure that we understand that budgets are a plan. Okay. And, you know, like I said, things change, things happen. When I did this budget, we had a full staff. And some changes have come up. So for our staffing, so that the everything is still in. I don't want to say up in the air because that sounds too. But what would you say, Antonio?
What I would say is that there's some changes that have been brought to us that still needs for us to kind of work through and figure out how that's going to affect the budget in a positive or negative way. I think it, in the grand scheme of things, it's probably going to affect our budget more of in a positive way.
Okay.
That's what we're hoping. But you never know. And the reason I'm saying that is that we do have some folks who are retiring from the station. And because of that it can also have, a negative effect, especially if someone is, you know, a well-known on-air personality that people love to listen to, and then if they're no longer with us, then it, you know, it's just the reality of it. We may not necessarily keep the same audience, but who knows? So right now we're
all down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
just to piggyback on that is that, yes, we
Jan,
no longer...
you need to mute yourself.
Oh, so sorry.
I want
to hear everything I have to say.
you know, we may no longer have somebody's salary because the person has decided to move on, but the income for that show, you know, we don't know what the future is going to bring there. So, like I said, a budget is a plan. A budget is, it's a roadmap, but sometimes the road changes.
And then the other thing that I want to point out that Maria has probably brought up to your attention is that if we are lucky enough to be on someone's will and get a sizable check, that is fabulous, but it doesn't necessarily guarantee that next year we're going to get the same amount. I mean, you know, essentially we're just hoping for people to croak to give us the same amount, but we can't, you know, we can't rely on that. So
people only die once. But you will see though that I budgeted, fiscal year 25, I budgeted $800,000 for major donors. We came in actually at almost $840,000 in major donors. And that does include, anything at well, it's what I call unsolicited money. Meaning that they love KPFA so much, they put us in their will, they give us major donations of $5,000, $20,000, $25,000, or unsolicited $500 donations, which goes into line 10, which is anything under $1,000. But based on our database, this is how much money we receive in, and I've been asked this before, and I can only say that it continues to happen year after year after year. I am totally amazed at how this happens, and I have talked to our GM and our management team, telling our development director that we need to advertise isn't the right word, but you know, ask people to continue to put us into their wills and give us bequests.
Can I interrupt for a minute?
Yeah.
Lyndon, you had your hand up. Do you have a question?
Yes, thank you, Fred. I was going to ask about the $839,000, and just she's answering it right now. I was going to ask if there was anything unusual about it, but I'm getting the answer. Thank you.
And I want to state that these are budgets. Budgets are not written in stone; they are projections, and I hope everyone in this committee understands that.
Along those same lines, the previous year, I budgeted $75,000 for car donations because that's what we had received in the previous year, or thereabouts, probably more than that. I always budget lower, but we only came in at $40,530. So I'm not going to budget again at a higher amount. I budgeted $45,000 for car donations. And I'm pushing our development director and our program director to do promos on car donations. I don't know why the slump, because there again, that's unsolicited in terms of we don't know whose car is going to be wrecked or anything like that. It's, you know, just is what it is.
My only assumption would be like with the new administration, people are probably less likely to donate.
That is true.
If they want to keep it for longer. So. You know, that could be something. I'm just pulling that out of the air. Sure.
So miscellaneous income. We have a couple of tenants on our tower, and that money comes from there. Also, we sold some old equipment that had been sitting on our shelves for a long time, so we got some money from that. Interest income that. And I don't know who knows about it, but there was something called a Heath bequest that came to Pacifica and KPFA in 2008. With that money is the principal of that money we cannot touch. But we get annual interest payments. And it keeps going up about $1,000 a year. So that's what that one is. So let's see if we move on down. This is the summary of our personnel costs, our board expenses, administrative programming, development, and community events. So personnel costs, we are a union shop. We have the union contract states that we increase 3% per year plus whatever the COLA is, the cost of living adjustment. 2 years ago, 24, the cost of living adjustment was 3.4%, I believe. So our total increase was 6.4. That one hurt a lot for me. And this year it's 3% plus 1.5% COLA. The other thing that we had was a huge increase, not unexpected. We all have heard the news, in our medical, premiums, in our health premiums. So that is all inclusive. Now I will say I put in here a 15% increase for our medical because we didn't know what it was at the time that I created this. We originally were told it was going to be 30% increase for our Kaiser premiums. And I put in 15% because I was told they're negotiating. And the reality came in at 12.5%. However, I haven't put it into this budget. It's lower now, but I didn't put it into the budget because I didn't want to stir the pot by changing the budget as you guys are looking at it. So that personnel cost will come down a bit. Board expenses, I put in there $20,000 for, elections. The stations used to always pay for the elections. I keep putting them into our budgets, but we're not paying the election costs. So that's kind of a buffer. administrative costs. That's all your Nationwide, gas and electric, telephone expenses and so on. Everything is going up. We know that, but we don't know how much things, you know, but I do am budgeting. I will look down here. Here are the details of it. So, telephone, I had budgeted 10,000, came in at 11,800. I'm budgeting 13,000, and I won't go down one by one, but, that is basically everything that, where the administrative costs come from. Programming expenses, you know, AP Reuters, well, excuse me, we no longer have Reuters. I just read that out loud. Programming services, we have Rami, who is in Gaza. We used to just budget $6,000 for that, for him and, other programming services. But of course, we know everything that's going on in Gaza. So a lot of stories have been coming out of there. Let's see, website expense. Yep. It came in higher than I had budgeted last time. So I went from a budget of 30 to actual of 44. So this, year I budgeted 45. Same with utilities of the, for the tower, development expenses. Our biggest, thing here for development expenses, I will say is something that, and I'll let Antonio talk about this, but, you know, we have an in-house, database that we have created. I personally like it for the accounting purposes of everything, but it's not as robust for development and for the programmers. So we have a programming person, not a radio programmer, but a computer software programmer that we pay. And, again, that's, I'm going to leave that to Antonio on how to explain that. Community events, we're trying to do more community events, with, the, you know, Bob Baldock leaving us. We kind of put a pin on community events. We are doing them the way we used to back when. But the one thing about our community events is that they're not very expensive to do, but, they provide us, premiums. So anyway,
okay. So, going back to the events, we look at it as a, and what I tell folks is that we're looking at it as a community building event. Not something that's going to bring in like $100,000. That being said, when Bob Baldock had left, we were in a position where we were kind of restructuring the staff internally. So that's why we kind of like put that on hold until we figured out some stuff within house. Going back to what Maria talked about with the website and getting someone to help us with our CRM, our, own built for KPFA. By a previous, chief engineer, is that, going to the National Federation of Community Broadcasters conference this year, our, database CRM manager, CRM database, was going and checking out other radio stations that had their own in-house, either website or CRM or whatnot. And essentially those other stations were able to put in, you know, 3 to 5 full-time people to support it. We only have one person doing that. And so, even though it's working well for Maria right now, the question is it something that we can sustain? Because, to be honest, we're not really going to be able to afford to have 5 people working on our own CRM. So it's something for us to just talk about and figure out what's going to be a solution down the road. It's not anything that we have to make a decision like tomorrow and get off of it ASAP. It's something that we know is in the horizon, but we have time to pivot.
I'm going to call on Susan now because she has had her hand up. Okay. Susan, you want to speak? You're muted.
Yeah. So a couple of things regarding the CRM. Those are probably questions at all the stations. And so I hope that there will be a national conversation around that, so that everybody can kind of learn from each other. That's one thing. The question I had was, when did we last sign a labor agreement? When do we negotiate next?
For us, the next negotiation is going to happen in January or February of 2026. But I'm still in a position where I can talk to them about postponing it. The idea is that if we postpone it for a few fund drives, we get to see what happens with some key on-air hosts that aren't on KPFA anymore, see how that, what the ramifications are of them not being on the air before going into negotiations. If we have to go to into negotiations earlier, then we have to take into account what that loss could be.
There's a lot of unknowns, yeah. So it's kind of hard to negotiate a new contract with a few people that are moving around in within our organization.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be scheduled in the new contract's supposed to start, I think, in April 1st or March 1st, but I know that we're supposed to get into negotiations in January, February.
Great. This is wonderful news. I really wish that we had at least three stations in the network that were pulling the same kind of numbers. We would be in a very, very different world.
Well, I think we try hard.
You do a great job.
Is there any more that you need to present on that?
Let's see. Does CRM refer to customer relation management system? Yes. Our CRM that we have, we call it Station Admin. I like it because it's very simple. We used to have something called MEMSIS, Membership System, something or another. It was very antiquated. We have somebody who is just a dream to work with, two people who are a dream to work with is our computer programming person, software programmer, and Dale, who has been doing an amazing job at talking to every single one of us. What do you need? How do you use it? What do you need from the CRM? And everybody needs something different. I need, information that's going to tell me how much money we're bringing in for listener support, for major donors, for car donations. Antonio needs something that says, okay, this is how much each one of the shows are making. And then
the fund drive manager or development director, they just need to know how close are they getting to the goal. And then the programmers need to see during their hour when they're pitching the amount of donations coming in to reach their hourly goal. So it's a little bit different for everybody.
Okay, I see that James Sackerton's hand is up. James, would you like the floor? You're muted.
Yes, Chair, thank you. Thank you, Maria and Antonio, for being here. I see that you're still using premiums, and I'm wondering if there's any way for you to tell us, not necessarily now, but what percentage of your listener support is coming from donations that involve premiums, and also how many people where do you identify the costs for the premiums? Is that in your expenses, and how many people do you have in what you might call your fulfillment department that would be recording and sending out those premiums?
So the first question is, could you ask them a bunch of questions? The first one is, how much do we know?
The percentage, no, I don't know that. Mm-hmm. That would be something that our development department could put together. They know how many premiums go out.
But how much we've spent for premiums.
Oh, well, yeah. How much we've spent is shown here. It's on, 114. So, row
I
one.
I see that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've spent, okay, so that amount is what we spent for premiums, for thank you gifts. Let me just use the word thank you gifts.
Yeah. Good. Thank you.
So that's the amount that we spent for thank you gifts. The model that we're following is that if we get something, if we're using something as a thank you gift, really what we need to let the listeners know is they're not supporting us to get this thank you gift. They're supporting KPFA and Pacifica for what we do. And so the, the, what do you call it, the formula that we use is 10 to 1. So if we get a thank you gift and it costs us $10, we offer it as a $100 donation. Sometimes that's a little bit, it's a little bit different because, you know, like, if a hoodie is $25 or $30, we're not going to ask for a $300 donation for a hoodie. So there's a little bit, there's a little bit of give in that. But the general rule of thumb is whatever it costs, we times it by 10. In the end, if someone wants to get that particular gift, they could just go online. They could go someplace and get it. But really what we're telling them is that you're supporting the station and this is a gift to you as a thank you. So that's the formula that we use. And generally it is 10 to 1. There's only a few, exceptions. And that's usually if it's KPFA swag, that just sounds ridiculous. Like, you know, $500 donation to get a calendar. Like that doesn't make sense. So that's when we fiddle around with it. But generally if it's a KPFA, if we produced it ourselves, right? And then so the number that you got, so you see that number, but then I guess we don't have a comparison of like how much that number is in comparison to how much we actually get from that thing.
No, I don't have that, not that's budget.
That's something that could, it's not impossible to get. It just means that our programmer, we need to kind of take them away from the other tasks and just, start to figure out a way to get a report for that particular. I'm also intrigued to know about that too. So it's not like, it's not something we don't want to do. It's just,
it's not about our fingertips.
Yeah. You know, the main task is like, if the website goes down during fund drive, they need to focus on that first. So like a lot of it is really just make sure the income comes in, but all the other nice to haves is something that we have on the list. So that's something that has been stated is something necessary for us to know because, you know, I would not be surprised if there are a ton of thank you gifts that don't garner the amount of engagement from the audience. And the question is, when do we get to a point where we're spending too much time looking for that ultimate thank you gift, where in the end, it becomes a waste of time. We end up spending too much people power to find that.
Along those lines, has KPFA had any trouble delivering thank you gifts?
I will say that I'm coming up on my 17th year with KPFA. And some years ago, long ago, we used to have what's called chargebacks. We didn't have a tremendous amount of them, but I would say we'd have 5 to 10 chargebacks a month. Those chargebacks were like if you're dissatisfied with a product and you bought it through a credit card, you could call your credit card company and say, "Hey, that product is crap. I want my money back." And so it would be charged back. What we would sometimes get is, "I haven't received my premium." Now, I'm not talking about a year, 2 years, 3 years. I'm talking months, but people, they pay for something. They expected a gift in return for their donation. They're not paying for gifts. They are donating for gifts, like Antonio said. But I haven't had a chargeback probably in the last few years. One way is that we have an amazing team here in-house. And then we do have a fulfillment house that... they just get the gifts out quickly and they're just not, we're not paying them a salary. We're paying a fulfillment house.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Our Paul, Jan, I see your hand up.
I just have a quick follow up.
No, I'm going to move to our Paul, James.
But my question wasn't fully answered.
He had other questions.
Yeah, the other question was simply, how many people do you have working on this? And I appreciate all the things you're saying about how the premiums work. We had a lot of experience with that at WBAI. And if you do ever get an explanation of all of that, or, you know, you figure out what's going on with those numbers in terms of how many donations are associated with premiums, if you could do a little write-up, that would benefit the other stations. We'd really appreciate knowing that. Well, you seem to think it would be good for you to know, too.
Okay, I'll answer quickly. So we have one person who's in charge of the fund drives, but they're kind of like in charge of making sure that the programmers are also on board and know what's happening, what the thank you gifts are, what the theme is, when the fund drive starts. We have somebody working on our database. They're not necessarily working with fulfillment. The person who's working with fulfillment is our membership coordinator. So it's just one person. And if we happen to have an individual working at our location, we're a host agency site for two nonprofits where individuals who want to get work experience can get work experience at KPFA. The goal is that they're looking for employment outside, full-time employment or some other type of employment, but we house them and we, you know, the exchange is that we supervise them, we make sure that they get some skills here and they help us out with some daily tasks, that aren't taking the job from a union member. So I want to be clear about that. So essentially it's about two people in house, but mainly it's the place that we go to that actually does a fulfillment for us.
It's, Forest Incentives.
Yeah. You're welcome, James. And just, Brad, just to continue with this. Next week, I've already talked to Stephanie about this, but, our development director is going to do a presentation about just, not a presentation, but kind of like a synopsis of what KPFA does for fund drives. And our hope is to talk to the other sister stations, find out what they're doing. There might be something that they're doing that's, much more efficient than we are. So I'm kind of curious to have that conversation with the other stations. James, I hope that, that helps you to know that we're going to actually have a larger discussion with the other stations about what are we each doing? What's, what services do we use that's much more efficient than what others may or may not be using?
James, please. I really appreciate that you're doing this, Antonio. I think it will benefit everybody in the network. R. Paul, you have your hand up.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Can you tell me what the headcount is at KPFA?
We have about 30 regular employees. And then we have fill-ins. Part of our union contract is that we have fill-ins for, so people can go on vacation. Cause, like, for example, I don't have a fill-in. Antonio doesn't. All of our administrative jobs don't have fill-ins, but our programmers, our news department,
board operators, technicians,
you have to fill them one for one. Our engineering department doesn't have fill-ins. So it does move around, does change.
You're going to share that, right?
If we're done with the share screen, can we remove
that? Sorry. That was my bad. I was looking at something.
And then just in a nutshell, really what we need to get a fill-in for is if not having a fill-in could potentially go to dead air, that's really a position that needs to be filled in. So any other ones, like if I'm off for 1 week, we don't need a fill-in for me. Another manager can take the lead for a week at the station. Anyone who's working as a support staff behind, not on the board or not on the mic does not necessarily need to be filled in unless they're going to be gone for a long period of time. So, so that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Antonio, what I'm asking is.
Excuse me. Antonio, you said another manager. What are the other managers at KPFA?
So you have me and Maria. We have the interim program director, we have the development director, we have the news director, and then we have the chief engineer.
Thank you. Art Paul, you had another question?
Well, it's a part of it. What I'm looking
for... Would like to get them down to one question each time.
Well, let me get this one answered the way I was asking it. What I'm really looking for is how many FTEs does KPFA have?
FTEs.
Give me a moment. I won't be sharing this screen.
Antonio, that's full-time employee.
Yes.
Yes, Marie has to look it up because we are unique in the way that we have some individuals that are working half-time, quarter-time. Some people are working, 8 hours every 2 months. Some people only fill in, so we'll...
Yeah. If we could go on to, I don't want Chuvaldo to sit here and wait for me.
Why don't we go to the next question while she finds that, Paul?
Paul, do you have a next question or you want to put your hand down?
Yeah, if I may at this point in time.
Please.
Okay. The KPFA FY25 actual net loss here in the document is 124 grand. Is that How close to real is that? Because I see it says at the top of it that it's, I've got to scroll up, unaudited. So I'm wondering, you know, is the 124, how close is that, do you figure? Do you figure it might be more or less?
No, I think it's pretty close. I mean, we record all of our money coming in. We, everything goes into the bank. All of our expenses get paid. That's how you figure out your expenses on the, that's how you figure out what you actually paid for your expenses. We, like I said, year after year, we have been lucky enough to have these bequests come through, and that meant we were lucky enough to have reserves. Every corporation, nonprofit or nonprofit, should have reserves, and that's why we were able to absorb that 124 without having to ask anybody else for help with money.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Antonio, Stephanie, who wants to speak now? I think we've, that was a very great presentation. I really appreciated it.
Yeah, hopefully we can get the answer for Paul.
And Myla had a question. She raised her hand. Myla, you want to unmute?
Yeah, thank you. Maria, I was just wondering, I was looking at the spreadsheet that was sent to us, and I found something that you showed on the screen, the schedule for KPFA fund drives, isn't included in the spreadsheet that we got, and that would be very useful if I can get that. I would have taken a screenshot had I...
You should have gotten it. Did you get an email? Somewhere in mid-October, I guess.
I don't know. The one that I forwarded to people and the most recent one that I got
It was October 14th.
So it's in the October 14th. Okay.
Yes.
I'll 9/13.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll search for that. Thank you.
Can I ask, are you needing particular dates just to help with alignment in between stations? Is that why you're asking for it, or just...
I would just like to actually to use it as an example of something that would be useful for KPFK to produce as well.
Mm-hmm. So just note that we do fund drives. So in the end of February, the beginning of March, it's either the last 2 weeks in February and the first week of March, or the last week of February and the first 2 weeks of March, we go into fund drive. Usually at that point, we kind of need to get into fund drive. So we do that. The 1 day drive happens on April 15th. And that not necessarily a fund drive that's going to bring in like $1 million or $100,000. It's really just to celebrate the station and make a little bit of money for that day. Then the next fund drive that we get into, February, March is our winter drive. And I'm going to apologize in advance. I even confuse it. I call it something. December.
Holiday and winter drive are always confusing.
They always confuse us, but the winter drive is in February and March. Then what happens after the birthday drive, we go into May, which is the spring drive, which is 3 weeks. So both of those drives are 3 weeks long. Between the winter and the spring drive is one of the only two times in the year that we have the most time. That's about 8 weeks between fund drives. All other times, it's usually 6 weeks. So from there, in July and August, the last week of July, first week in August, we get into our summer drive, which is generally the most horrible for us. It's most people are on vacation, but that's a 2 week drive. Then from there, we go into September. Ideally, it stays within September, so it stays within the fiscal year. But if we have to push it back because we have a summer drive and people need a little bit of a break, we do that. But that becomes our fall drive, 3 weeks in September. Then from there, we have our next period of the most time between fund drives, between the fall and the holiday drive, which happens in either the first or second week of October, not October, the first or second week of December. And we generally end the week before the winter holidays. And the the trend has been that the holiday drive in December and the post drive have been the most successful for the station because of year-end giving. They want it to be tax-deductible, but a tax-deductible donation, they do it up through December 31st. All other drives, if you see the numbers, they usually are a little bit lower, but the goals that we set are what we would like to achieve, but we also know that from experience, if we do a goal that's more real, sometimes we make less than that when we should have just asked for another $50,000 and not make our goal. So like an example would be if it was 400 versus 450, you might want to just say 450 if you're not going to make it because you'll still get like 400,000. And we've seen experience, we've had experiences where we say, let's make it easy for the team so that we have a win and people feel good about it and do 400,000 and then we make 390. So it's, you know, it's trying to play in a, I don't say play, but it's like, you want people to, it's a strategy, but you also don't want people to feel so disheartened that they don't want to, you know, they don't want to try. So you have to kind of find that medium, right?
Let me speak to that, with a question. Our subscriber base, is it growing? Is it diminishing? And how much is it growing or diminishing year after year? Over the last year?
I don't know how much it's growing. I can't give you the number now of how much it's growing. All I can tell you is that when we had two, we were both on Allegiance and Station Admin at the same time. When we moved.
Two different CRMs.
Once we moved off of Allegiance to Station Admin, we did get a little bit of a hit. But we waited till we got most people moved off of Allegiance. So we built that back up. But we are building. I don't think it's that extreme. It's not like we're making, you know, 1,000 new subscribers a fun drive, but I think it's like a couple hundred. But I would have to talk to the development director about that. She knows more of the numbers, but we are growing. I'll just say that.
That's what I want to hear.
Yeah, ideally what I would love, this is going to be my wish, if KPFA, since KPFA costs about $300,000 a month to run, if we could get $300,000 in monthly subscribers, that would be fabulous. We might be able to lower and not have, you know, the same amount of fund drives, do less. It'd be great. But right now, I think we've just reached over the 100,000 mark. But just for you all to know, that number also takes into account the fund drives that we're doing that year. So they're not necessarily separate, right? So it's, so it is what it is. I'll just say that. But my hope, $300,000 or even more, and maybe KPFA could be a station that just does one fund drive a year or two fund drives a year. That would be fabulous. Less stress on people, more programming, get us out there doing the content that we're supposed to be doing. You know, then that's going to be my hopes and dreams. Right.
I'll say one thing. I harp on this constantly when we have our management meetings, is that, and we're lucky enough, I'm 64 years old, and our management team now is, they're all in their 30s and early 40s. So I keep telling them, get us younger listeners, get us younger listeners, because and the thing is that, and I'm not a marketing person, I'm not a statistician of any sort, but I do know that radio, that you know, radio is a dying thing. I mean, you know, I have daughters in their 30s and they're like, Mom, no one listens to radio. Okay, how do you know, podcasts, internet, all that kind of stuff. So we got to push that. Everybody, all of us have got to push that because we're going to be losing listeners. One way or another, we are going to be losing listeners. The more listeners we lose, maybe more bequests we get, but that's kind of a catch point.
Yeah. Well, but the hope is that, you know, what we have to do is we have already, the KPFA train has already left the station and it's going. We don't have to change it. It's doing what it's doing. It's doing what it's doing well. I mean, you know, it could be better, of course, but the goal is when we start looking at how to expand our listener base, I want to ensure that the people that are already with us stay with us and continue to be with us. There's, you know, I don't want to be in a conversation where all of a sudden people are being left behind and they start leaving us because we're going on a different strategy. The question is, how do we add to it to expand our audience in a way that we haven't before while continuing to do what we're doing, right?
As so a group, that's a great idea. And it, I want to say again, it is five different pieces of one station, of one group. It's the National Public Radio that we are, Pacifica. And we cannot think of ourselves as individual stations at all. James Haggerton, you have your hand up.
Yeah, thank you, Fred. I just wanted to ask if there's any coordination with the holiday or slash year-end fundraising going on among the five stations. Any support from the national office?
I can answer that. I've had in our meetings with Stephanie, the other GMs, I've brought up just finding out what are the other stations' schedules. And I think from what I remember, KPFA and WPFW seem to be the two stations that at least kind of know for the next 9 months what their schedule is. And I think the other ones have had, I'll just say this. I know the difficulty it is to be in those stations based off of what I've heard from the other general managers. And I think trying to come into alignment with this is what our schedules are going to be for the next coming year is a goal of ours, right? That being said, I don't have any fault in anybody else for what's not happening or what's, you know, because in the end, they're dealing with what they need to deal with. And I've been in that situation myself where there's this huge obstacle that's, you know, threatening to put us off the air. And that's where our focus is. It doesn't really matter what our fund drive is going to be a year from now. My focus is like, we're not going to have dead air tomorrow, right? So from what I've been experiencing in my conversation with other GMs, I know it's been challenging, but as we've been going along, I've noticed that things are changing in those stations where we're actually able to have more conversations with each other, where it's not in, we're in threat mode where we're trying to deal with an emergency right now. So it is changing. So my hope is, with Stephanie's help and all the other GMs, to kind of figure out what is our schedule so that we are all in alignment, especially for those stations that share programming, because it can be so frustrating for each station when one station goes on a fund drive, the other one hasn't started yet, and the other one ends when the other one still needs to go, and they're both sharing a program where that person is pitching for both stations, right? So, you know, we'll be working on that more as a team. So I can assure you that.
Yeah. Are you asking that on a logistical aspect of it, or kind of more of a, do you share information or share strategies?
Sure. All of the above. Sharing strategies, timing, sharing,
bringing us all more successful.
Rather, yeah. You know, sharing information. And coordination, yeah. But thank you, Antonio. Good answer. I appreciate it.
Susan, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I've got a comment and a question. Okay, the comment is, you know, thank you all, GM, Stephanie, Ursula, and the other managers for your periodic meetings where you really just, you know, you have a lot of very constructive conversation, and I think learning from each other is incredibly important, because this is a, you know, we don't have a whole bunch of backup. You all are each other's backup. I had a small question, which is, Maria mentioned that there are others who share a place on the tower and you get income from that. Are those subcarriers?
No. I'm not a technical person. But say, for example, KCBS, they're a local news station. They're on our tower. So they have dishes on our tower. Is that what it's called? I don't know.
Weirdly enough, I can answer that question because I've actually been to the tower. I've seen it. You know, it has spaces where you can put another dish on it, and other stations like to have their dish on that tower. And that goes to cover some of the expenses of keeping those towers up and wow, functional and performing correctly.
But just know, Susan, that as we move forward, a lot of the services that we can offer by having a space on the tower are now being taken up by the internet. So yep. Even our chief engineer was just saying that, he's still surprised that some people are renting from us when they can do it for free on the internet. So just know it's not something, keep quiet. No, but it's something that, that we are aware of, that it may change, going lower moving forward. I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen,
yeah,
but just for us to not be surprised if that happens.
Because technology changes everything. Yeah. The one thing I'll tell you is that we get, quite often, for those of you who don't know, Fred, you said you've been to the tower. We are, in a very, very strategic place. We're, above what's called the Caldecott Tunnel, four tunnels that, connect the east, actually it's western Contra Costa County and, East Bay. So Berkeley, Oakland, you guys all know it probably from the, Oakland fires. But they have a great
reach.
Yeah. And so we actually get a lot of, cell phone, companies wanting to put stuff on our towers, but I think, which probably could bring us good money. But the problem is that I think, I'm not a technical person, but it could, produce some problems, you know, but yeah, we are in a very good spot up there in the Oakland Hills.
So, I like your comment that there are many people moving away from cell phone towers, and there are many stations that are moving away from those. And we ought to look into that as well. But that's another story. Can we move the agenda now and get to our...
Could I ask any number on that FTE question?
27 and a half, but that includes everybody, everything.
All right, thank you.
That's fill-ins, special programming, all of that kind of stuff. 27 and a half.
Right.
And can I suggest that we are approving the KPFA budget and sending it on to the PNB?
So moved.
Any objections? Hearing no objections, it's moved to the PNB. Can we hear from our executive director, please?
Yes, I will go ahead and pull up some report or pull up my papers. But one of the things too, to sort of piggyback off of things that Maria and Antonio have said as well, is that we do share on a regular basis when we have our GM meetings and our director meetings, when people's fund drives are coming up. We have attempted to try to add a shared calendar where people can actually plug in their fundraising dates. But not everybody, we're still trying to work on the technicalities of it. I thought it would be something that would be very easy, but not everybody has access to be able to log into this shared Google calendar. But we do make a point that when we have our meetings that people can share what's going on. And I know that KPFK and KPFA have often shared when their fund drives are, because there is information and programming that piggybacks off of each other. And some of the success even at KPFT is that they've been able to reduce their fund drives, as KPFA's goal is as well, to reduce the length of their fund drives, and also with the goal of completely removing one of the fund drives during the year. And then, of course, thanking the listeners that we don't have to have a fund drive right now because, you know, we're doing such a great job raising funds and have had great support. So it'd also be, I think, very helpful as we've added to the ED report when people's fund drives are, when they're planned, which was in this last ED report, how much money was the goal, how much was raised, how many were new members, sustaining members, those kind of things. So there is a lot of shared information that is going on. And as Antonio shared, each of the stations has their own challenges. And it's wonderful. KPFA has a great staff and a supportive staff. And some other stations have, you know, equivalent of 3.5 staff member, 3.5 full-time. So it's very difficult. We do try to share again that information and resources because stations don't have development directors. They don't have fund drive directors. They don't have, you know, somebody working on the money aspect of it. So we are, as units, you know, really trying to support each other and sharing best practices in order to, make each station feel supported. Because, you know, we don't want to often hear, well, they can do this or that because they have 30 staff members and we have 4, you know, so that isn't that fortunately is not a conversation and attitude that happens amongst all the general managers. And I do have to thank them for talking to each other and feeling free and open to text each other and have conversations and talk to me when needed. And I really do think the camaraderie between all the stations has improved greatly over the last few years. So, you know, and that's just because the general managers and their key staff are really open to sharing information with each other. So I'm very, very grateful for that.
Thank you. I just wanted to say, you know, my motivation for my question was that we had spoken about people from the various stations to submit in writing updates about the finances and how the fund drives were going at each of our stations. And I did receive a report about the goal for the last fund drive for KPFK, we did get to our goal. But when I requested the dates of the fund drive, because I just wanted to have in that report not only that we had achieved our goal, but the days of the fund drive. And I was unable to easily obtain that information. In fact, I still haven't gotten my hands on it yet. And so I just wanted, my motivation for asking for that schedule from KPFA was just to provide it as a model that may or may not be useful for the other stations. And Maria, I looked, I couldn't find it. So if you could just send me.
I'll resend it to you. That's not
okay.
A problem.
Okay.
I've not seen anybody else's budget, but Markeisha is on this call and I know she'll remember this. Back in 2010, 2011, I guess, Pacifica created this humongous budget. I still use the same template. However, I think it probably had 20 tabs and I eliminated most of them. It was way too complicated. It would slow down my computer tremendously. So my point being is that, we've all had this, this template. I'm happy to share my template. Like I said, I no longer have 20 tabs. I just can't handle that. Even though I'm a Excel lover, I can't do that. But yeah, definitely I can, it has all my the formulas and everything in there. So that kind of helps. It just depends. Our databases are very important to finance because, you know, it's the reality of it all. This, you know, and by the way, we've been cleaning up our database. We've had some issues, due to personnel who are no longer, here. I of course look at our bank and say, okay, the bank is the reality. What's in the bank is in the bank and that's the reality. And you will see that that's where I match up for sure. I have the database that gives me the information that I have the bank and both of those have got to match. So.
And we still use those templates. I mean, those are the templates that are used. Obviously, it's not that many pages, but if people look through a lot of the preliminary budgets, particularly when we're doing the reviews at the NFC with where all the stations are currently, all throughout those open tabs, there's tabs about the pledge drives, there's fulfillment rates, there's the percentage, there's payroll. So there are multiple tabs and then that all feeds into the front tab. And then we get those front tabs and that's what is all of that is combined to feed into then the quarterly, you know, to try to get those consolidated. And one of the things that people have to realize as well is that you know, we're kind of branching off here, but every single payroll entry needs to be reconciled and consolidated. So it's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of information that those tabs and those formulas all speak to each other. But then when we submit the reports or the simplified budgets for the NFC to look at and then the PNB to finalize, it's then simplified into a smaller one or two page PDF that takes out a lot of those tabs because those tabs are reviewed by the NFC. But with the fund drives recently that was in the ED report, the fall fund drive for KPFA was, here, you can obviously correct me because I got this from Antonio, was September 23rd through October 10th, and the goal was 450, and then pledged was 409,484. So that's, as Antonio was saying, to try to make that goal a little bit higher, you know, hoping that then you can reach your, you have your exceeded goal or that wishful goal, but then you have kind of that reality of what you're aiming for. And then the KPFT Fall Fund Drive was October 28th through November 9th. Their goal was $179, $175,000, and they raised $189,000 as of when they gave me those dates, which were 11/5. So their pledge drive was to end November 9th, but they reached, they exceeded their goal on the 5th. So they continue with some of their fund drives, even after the fund drive has completed, they still continue with a follow-up thanking people for how much was raised. And then they also say, you know, yes, we're at a fund drive, but, you know, please feel free to continue to donate, increase your annual gift, your monthly support, that kind of thing. KPFK, their fall fund drive, was September 23rd and it ended October 15th. Their goal was, $140,000. They raised $143,180. And out of that, $12,219 were new gifts and $19,228,000 were renewed gifts. And that $143,000, was a total number of 1,181 donations. They're also having a meet and greet event that is happening this Saturday in Santa Barbara. And they've reached out to and made emails, various phone calls to listeners and supporters in Ventura, Oxnard, Carpinteria, and Santa Barbara. And so they're just doing a meet and greet there to kind of reach out to some of those listeners that may not feel completely connected to Los Angeles. And then they're going to be doing the same thing as the year continues in the Inland Empire and then also down in San Diego. So they're focusing quite a bit now on outreach.
Go ahead, please. Please, I thought you were done. Please.
WPFW, their fund drive was October 12th through November 1st. They had a goal of $250,000, and as of the 5th, they had raised $221,341. They had reached all their other goals in the prior year, the three others that they had had throughout the year, but one of the things that they were really taking a close look at is that excessive furloughs and layoffs within the government, actually, they were assuming had negatively impacted their fundraising because they had exceeded their goals in other events. So one of the things that they did is that they also had a special on-air event in September where they were hosting just a one-day on-air fundraising event that was celebrating John Coltrane and Ray Charles Day. They had a goal of $15,000 for that day, and they raised $19,373. And then with WBAI, they had a winter pledge drive that was a little bit early, that I don't have the exact dates on that, but they had a goal of $125,000 with an actual of $142,000. They had 604 donors, 108 new donors, 131 returning donors, and 73 new WBAI buddies. And they had a couple of, they had one WBAI buddy in particular that had increased their monthly donation from, I think, $50 a month to $500 a month. So they've been really focusing on reaching out to the WBAI buddies and people that have been consistent donors, re-engaging them through phone calls and emails, and then getting them more into the major gift line, major gift world. But we will be planning and setting dates for fund drives, four of them for this upcoming year. So Bob and staff, Bob, the interim general manager, and myself and some of their key staff members will be meeting next week to go over in greater detail the preliminary budget, categorize where the revenue should be, because right now everything is listed as listener support, and we need to kind of work with them to better categorize what's listener support, what's a sustaining sponsor or a sustaining donor, WBAI, better BAI buddies, and then also what's grants and sponsorship. So we'll have a better narrative for that when we look at that budget.
Now, you didn't have the exact dates of that fund drive, did you?
No.
You have an estimation of the time period and when it occurred?
I think it was earlier in the year. I don't know the exact dates. I know that they are launching a year-end pledge drive, so they are going to be launching a pledge drive December 2nd through the 31st of this year. That will be a year-end. As with all of the stations, there is a push for year-end fundraising. They're also putting together an impact report, which will, and I'm working with them on this, which is just kind of a like a one sheet, almost like an infographic that is, they'll be able to send out on emails and then also on social media, that will just kind of give an impact of what has, you know, what that station has accomplished over this last year. And it's basically who we are, what we did, why your gifts were so important, how we use those funds, and why you need to give to us. It's just a, it's like a miniaturized version of an annual report, but I just call them impact reports.
So can I, Myla, just something for you to note, that if you go and to KPFA's website and join our newsletter, we tell our listeners when the fund drive is happening, about 2 or 3 weeks before. So you'll get the dates there. We also give people an idea of how far we've reached, with our goal in the middle and at the end. So that's one way to get that information. FYI, where our holiday drive is going to be from December 9th through the 19th. This year. And, I just want you all to know, like, if you are on the newsletter, paper-based newsletter, just know that at the end of the fund drive, the development director will let people know how far we reached, to our goal. Either we made our goal, went above it, or how close we got to it. About a week or two later, or a month later, or even 2 months later, when I give Stephanie a report, that number is usually different. And the reason I want to let you know this is that sometimes people will try to donate and they accidentally donate 3 times in an hour. And when the team gets through it and cleans it up, the numbers I give is a little bit different than what the development director gave, because we find out later that a couple thousand were, you know, double pledges or triple pledges, sometimes even multiple pledges that were a mistake. Or somebody, you know, wanted to make a $100 donation, but somebody heard it was a $1,000 donation, and that gets fixed. So just, you know, when you see the number, the discrepancy, just know that's what's happening behind the scenes. So immediately after, it's really just to give an idea of how close we got, but it's not necessarily going to be the most accurate number. Okay.
Not the, most accurate.
KPFT sends out as well little notes and newsletters, and they have a thermometer that you can see growing and that they'll send out to people on a regular basis, including texting that thermometer out if people have signed up for texting. And then you can actually see the thermometer exploding on the top when they've reached their goal. It's fun. I like
on
to
the
look at
line
games.
With us. Do we want to hear from her, or has she got anything to say that might help us move forward?
Who are you asking?
I was asking our executive director. I see that Markeisha is on the phone with us, and I'm wondering if she wants to contribute anything.
I do not have anything to contribute, but thank you, Fred. Oh. I'm just here for support in case I needed to speak. So,
thank you, Markeisha. I see James Sagerton and Paul Martin again have their hands up. James.
I wanted to, these are three quick things. I wanted to ask Maria if whatever she sends to, Myla, if she could send it to the committee and then it could be distributed to everyone so we could all see it. I wanted to ask Myla if the executive director's report, which breaks down the fundraising, satisfied what she was trying to get at when she was asking all of us to speak to our GMs, which I hope it did. And I want to ask Stephanie if those management meetings with all the GMs and sometimes I think the PDs are still weekly, and if so, great.
They're not weekly. The meetings are monthly. We were supposed to have one today. It's the second Tuesday of every month. We didn't have one today because it's a holiday and a lot of people had asked off. So we pushed it till next week. We have meetings we have the meeting as a group throughout, you know, one time per month, but I can honestly say that I meet with individual general managers or pairs of general managers or general managers. I mean, also including Ursula in this, you know, her staff and PDs or PDs and news directors, whatever that may be. weekly, if not sometimes with some people 2 to 3 times a week, if not more. Some general managers I'm on the phone with daily, 2 times a day. We'll have conversations. We have scheduled meetings with some, I have scheduled meetings with some people every week, some scheduled meetings with people every other week. It just depends upon their management style and kind of how much help they need. And I don't want to bombard the general managers who are very overworked with a weekly meeting, but they are very, all the general managers, program directors, anybody that I reach out to is very open to answering things via text really quickly, answering an email. They'll have, I trust that they are very comfortable calling me on the phone and texting me, because I start getting calls at 6 a.m. because that's 9 o'clock in New York, and we'll continue until 6 or 7 West, you know, West Coast. So, so we only have meetings as a group again once a month, unless we find that when we were coming close to the No Kings Day, we were meeting 2 times a month. The news teams that are working together on that national, the national programming element has representatives from each of the stations and the affiliates, and we meet every Wednesday morning with that.
I have to have a point of order. What you need to know, Maria, is that you cannot post to the IO, because the way the IO is set up, you have to be allowed to post. So if you sent that stuff to Myla, Myla could post it to the NFC IO.
Okay. I'm going to have to take that note, because she stepped out to move her car.
Okay. So actually, she's going to send it to Myla, and okay. I'm asking Myla to forward it to the NFC.
All right. And this is the same documents that she sent you all. Because
I searched through my email, and I was not able to find a PDF that included that wonderful first screen that Maria shared that just showed a grid with your KPFA fund drive schedule. Okay. I know, just hold on a second. I know somebody sent it to me. I searched for it, and I'm just asking for the convenience of just having that one visual again. And I'll be happy to share it with everybody. And it's just formatted in such a way that it's really helpful for me to understand. So I appreciate hearing the numbers and hearing and seeing it laid out in prose or however, but I was just really thinking that it would be helpful to see that grid.
And let me just make sure that I'm clear. You're talking about the grid that starts with, at the bottom, it was fall 2024 up through fall 2025.
It was the fund drive schedule that she shared on the screen. That was the very first thing that she showed us from her document.
Sorry.
And Maria is back. And
yeah, I had to move my car.
Just send it to Myla, the one way.
Yeah, I was going to. I was actually funny enough.
And I mean, that's the only thing I'm requesting is just that one grid. And then
are we all clear on this?
Yeah. Thank you. Right. And Fred, could Myla answer, did the ED's report satisfy what she was getting at when she wanted us all to speak to our GMs about the fund drives?
Were you asking me to speak to my GM, Stephanie?
Yes. Yeah, remember at the last meeting you had asked us to speak to our GMs about fund drive progress, but the ED put that in her report.
Correct, and that's what I was trying to, we did receive a report, and I was trying to gain some clarification about that. Yes and no. At any rate, I'm a little confused at this point. I'm so sorry.
All of the information that I got that I put in the ED report regarding the fund drives was information that was texted to me when I reached out to the GMs and said, can you please give me your most recent fund drive dates, goal raised, any other events that you have that could supplement those numbers, and what do you want me to put in the ED report that you'd like me to share? Within less than two hours after sending them texts, everybody sent me their information.
Excellent. So, James, I can say yes to your question.
Great. Thank you.
Paul, you have a question.
Yeah. Basically, I want to thank the executive director for sending out that particular report. It's useful, especially page 5. I think page 5 answers a question somebody raised at the beginning of this meeting, and maybe that helps them to understand it. Okay, somebody. And I wish also...
Yeah, well, I knew who you were talking about.
Can't put one past you, can we? I would also ask, could you please send it to the NFC? Because I got it in a roundabout way. And if you could send that stuff to the NFC directly, that would allow us to have it right away. Okay? But thanks for sending it out.
Yeah, and that's where when I send it, I send the confidential version to the PNB, and then the version that can be shared with LSBs and committees either that same night, because if I put them in the same emails, it seems to confuse people, or I send it out the following day. So I don't have, this is the only committee that I have access to their list. So if there's any other, you know, I can't send this out to LSBs or any other committees. I trust that the directors on the PNB will forward those, but I will send it out, the shareable version, to the NFC now.
Thank you, Stephanie.
And I hope in the future, too. Thank you.
Can I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Any objection to adjourning? Hearing none, we are adjourned. I think we've done a lot of work here. I really appreciate everybody's efforts. I do think that it's really important that we all have, every station has a series of fund drives, and it sure shows up in what we saw with KPFA. Thank you all. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, everybody.